Hello, everybody. I'm Brian.
And I'm Brian.
And this is Brian versus Brian, episode 100. No, it ain't 100. That's crazy talk. 275. I make errors on the numbers, and I go off the numbers. Okay, so we're could be episode 800 for all I know.
Yeah, just make a new one up every episode.
It just rolls over. Yeah. Anyways, the Burbs. All right.
Yes.
Back in the spotlight with a new, what is that? Hulu? Who's got the new show?
Peacock.
Is it Peacock?
Okay. Yeah.
In the news with the new show, we're doing the original movie here. Tom Hanks, 1989, directed by Joe Dante.
Yeah.
Also did Gremlins.
Yes.
And Gremlins 2.
Yeah.
I would have never thought that the same person that did Gremlins 2. Yeah. Would have never guessed. Feels like they got a new director and just fucking swung for the fences type of movie. That's crazy. Yeah. It's the same director. He's like, yes, I agree. Bigger, better. yes. The kooky gremlin. That's fun.
Yeah, the best thing to come out of Gremlins 2 was that Key and Peele skit. By far.
Oh, yeah. So and we had to wait, 30 years for that?
For it to be worth it.
Hold on a minute. You do know, because you haphazardly came up with a goofy-ass gremlin that is definitely in this picture. Yeah, and I love how I love looking at set dressing and old 80s movies especially. I'm just looking at boxes. Cool old like Tide boxes and stuff, and then I see a cereal by the sink, and it's Gremlin cereal. I'm like, oh, look, Gremlin cereal. I thought it was just such a popular cereal in the 80s. It was in the kitchen, but no.
Yep.
Got a little connection there. This is the cereal of my major smash hit, Gremlins!
Yeah. It's like when we did Poltergeist not that long ago, but when it would show them the boys' room, it's just littered with fucking Spielberg shit.
Star Wars shit, yeah. Oh, man. I want to try the Gremlins 2, the new batch cereal. It's got, like, olives in it, cloves of garlic. It's just the most haphazardly put together mess. It's got spaghetti.
Oh, God. That's a movie we need to do, because I don't know if I've actually ever seen Gremlins 2. I just know about how ridiculous it is. I don't think I've ever seen
it. I loved it as a kid. It's weird, as a kid, you don't put two and two together that number one was pretty damn serious. Yeah. Number two is a freaking Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, God.
So this is February 17, 1989. Budget $18 million, box office of $49 million. So it made a little bit of money. It was considered a moderate success, but was panned at the time by critics. And, mixed critical reviews, and is now regarded as a cult classic. That's how it goes, man. Yeah, we got, you know, a classic 80s lineup. We got Tom Hanks. We got Bruce Dern. We got Carrie Fisher. We got Rick Ducomone. Yeah, you might not know their names, but you know their faces. Trust me, when you're watching
it. Is that the guy from Scary Movie? Cindy's dad.
Yeah, Cindy's dad. Yeah.
So
I like it the end when he's doing the interview. I think Scary Movie was kind of playing with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We got a bunch of people. Like the freaking doctor shows up and walks out. I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy. He's always a little creepy guy.
Corey Feldman?
Hair since he was... yeah. Oh, yeah, Corey Feldman. You got to have the quintessential teen on the street, I guess. Mm-hmm. All right, so... we start off with Tom Hanks was he outside watching his neighbor's house?
Yeah, there's like a noise in the basement, something like electricity or something, like woo, all the lights are kind of going in the basement. He's like, what?
It's a freaking jet engine is what it is every time. And then every time the lights turn off, as that jet engine wind down, like a vacuum kind of has it.
And it's really weird. He takes like one step on the yard.
Yeah.
And everything gets windy. All the leaves go past him. And then he takes a step back into his yard and it stops. It's like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, I did that in the show too. I kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is my first time watching the movie. I've watched like four or five episodes of the show, and I think you have too.
Yeah, same. I've never seen The Burbs, yeah. The
Okay.
movie. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, then we get, I don't know, Carrie Fisher is his wife. Unlike the show, I didn't get any inclination that like they were new to the neighborhood or moved back. It sounded like he grew up there.
Yeah.
'Cause like some of his friends are like, "Oh, remember the old ice cream shop?" And he's like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
So that's different than the show.
And also, like, more. I mean, it's kind of hard not to compare the show to the movie because I think a lot of things the show does is way better. And one of the things it does way better is that Carrie Fisher is like, it's cool to see her in this movie outside of Star Wars. You rarely get that. Carrie Fisher, I can't think of another Carrie Fisher movie outside of Star Wars.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, cool, Carrie Fisher. But she spends most of this movie's runtime just kind of nagging on him. There's not a whole lot to her character. She'll,
Yeah.
stop looking out the window. And then they get into an argument. And that's kind of their relationship. Whereas the
Yeah.
show, at least there's a lot of scenes with the husband, with his friends, like kind of making him a character. But Carrie Fisher doesn't really do
Yeah, it's
much in
kind of
this movie, to be honest.
lackluster. They do give her a couple like monologues
Yeah.
where she has a lot of dialogue that it's, I don't know, it's just it seems so weird.
Yeah, and then he's on a week long, or he has a week off of work.
Yeah, he took a vacation, and she's kind of mad that he's just staying at home. We don't know why, like he's stressed or something, right? He just needs a. I'm gonna sit at home and do nothing. And she's like, "We should go to the lake." He's like, "No, I hate the lake. It's damp." Well, we should do this. No. I just want to chill here. And so she's going to work through the week, and they got a kid too. I guess he's going to school. And then we meet with his friend. I don't remember their names. They're just classic, awesome 80s like trope characters. So he's the fat one, the quintessential fat neighbor guy. Oh, I think he comes over to like eat. He's talking to them. Yeah, what were you doing last night? I saw you outside. And then, are you guys eating in there? And he comes in. And I don't know why. I was talking to Jesse while we were watching this. I was like, why is it always in the 80s movie? It was so funny to see a fat guy eat a lot. I think it was because obesity wasn't as rampant, so it was like kind of a novelty thing. Like, oh, look, somebody that's bigger and eats a lot—that's crazy talk. And so he's just eating. He's pummeling sausage into his gullet. He's got the, and then he goes up to the fridge and he's talking to him about the creepy house. And he's smelling
His ribs
leftovers, and
or
then he
something,
pulls out the ribs. And yeah, it's just great.
so
I loved
good.
it. Yeah, and they talk about seeing the lights, and I think we get Corey Feldman bumping into them later outside already. Is
Yeah,
that?
I think there's like a we just kind of get introduced to everybody in the neighborhood, like Corey Feldman.
So he's the teen, and
Just punk rock kind of always. His parents are out of town, and he's supposed to like do chores, and he's like not doing any of them. He's supposed to paint
he
the house or something,
seems.
but.
Here's what I got from Corey Feldman in this movie. It was strange because it starts off his first couple of scenes. He seems like Corey Feldman, playing himself in a movie, like he always does. It's kind of his voice, it's kind of his cadence, what he does in every movie. But then by the end of the movie, I felt like he was doing like a Lost Boys.
Totally.
He had
The
like he had gone,
bandana
yeah, he had gone to the morphed Corey. Like he was talking more like a surfer
and
towards the end. Like in the beginning, he's like normal Corey Feldman, and then by the end, he's like, "Yeah, brother, yo," like a Spicoli towards the end. I was like, "What the fuck is he doing?" It's like this seems like a different character from the beginning. In the beginning, he's very kind of straight laced. He's talking with the adults. You almost think he's an adult. Like he had a paintbrush when he's introduced in his mouth. I thought it was a cigarette with like a holder. And I was like, man, he doesn't even look 18. They got him smoking in this movie. And there was a paintbrush. But then he's hanging out with the adults, like outside late at night on the porch, like it's a thing they always do. And I was like, is he an adult? I'm not getting, because
It's
like I never
confusing.
see his parents and he has a home. They're like, why don't you go back and do your yard? And I was like, but then I guess they're like, his mom's out of town. I guess they kind of throw away in one line, like his parents aren't there. And so it was just very strange because he's hanging out with them as a friend, but then later in the movie, it's like he's not welcome with them anymore. And he's just like watching from his house as a spectator and inviting his
Yeah, he throws like a razor. They're all like drinking. Yeah. And I think at one point he has a babe over and they're sitting on the porch. I don't know, half of the movie. And he's kind of like explaining the neighborhood to her. And I was just like, who the fuck is this kid?
Everyone has a babe. I love it. This is the 80s, dude. It's everyone has a hot blonde wife. Yeah. Like even the old man did, didn't he?
Yeah, Bruce Dern's his wife. He was
all of them. The army guy, and she's like out gardening and like bent over and all the neighbors are watching and what did Corey Feldman's like, hey, no tan lines, all right. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Of course, and then Carrie Fisher is Tom Hanks's wife, and they put her in a little dress sometimes, and it's like straight off of frick. I don't know when this movie was made, but yeah. What did I say, 80s, around Return of the Jedi. So she's definitely in that.
A lot of cleavage.
That phase. Yeah. Like
revealing clothing. Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. You know what's funny? They have all of these like scantily clad, attractive 80s women, and like, there's no intimacy in the whole movie, I don't think, between any husband and wife. They never, like, embrace, kiss, nothing.
Nope, nothing.
Ever.
Mm-mm.
Just eye candy. There you go. Like, we're not going to make these poor actresses kiss these ugly men. Yeah. Please. SAG would have our heads.
Oh, my God.
All right. Yes, we get Corey Feldman. We get the army guy, army quintessential army surplus freaking prepper guy.
Mm-hmm.
Served in Nam, I think. Then the old man with the little dog.
Oh, yeah.
He really is kind of useless and doesn't really do anything. He has some kind of funny bits in the beginning. I don't really remember what they were.
Yeah, he's kind of just used as a plot point later on in the movie. That's basically it.
Anyways, they keep spying on this house, and finally someone moves in. I love it. You would know this guy if you saw him. It's the freaking, he's like the Children of the Corn guy. I don't know who he is. The first kid you see come out of their house with the red hair.
He stands on the porch. Yeah.
Yeah. He's always playing some creepy 80s teen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always, he's got to be 40 then, right? Yeah. It's like, you've been a teen for like 20 years in these movies. And he comes out, and then there's a pretty funny banter between Tom Hanks and his fat buddy. Like, we could go up there and you talk to him. Yeah, you could. So could you.
Yeah.
He running out of time, man. Look, he's got the paper. He's turning around. Oh, you blew it. You blew it, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, I blew it. You blew it, chicken.
And I love how, I think there's a shot, even when that guy gets on the porch, there's like a shot of the whole neighborhood stops what they're doing and looks at that guy. Because no one had ever seen anybody from that house. It's the first time anyone's ever seen anybody. And everyone's just like, what?
Yeah, and then they go up there, right, on a dare and knock on it.
Yeah.
Something falls off the wall. The fucking numbers on the house make 666 turn over. And then there's a hole in the wall, and bees start chasing them, and we get the little, I don't know what they do on the film. They rub a couple spots and it makes it look like insects, but it looks so bad. Fuzzy little balls. Oh, no. And it's funny, the army goes, run towards me, towards the water.
He's got his hose. Yeah.
And he can't reach. He's like, come closer. And he runs and just snaps with it. Yeah. It's good. 80s slapstick.
Yeah, it's the 80s slapstick.
And I think this movie is the mystery sucks compared to the show. There's actually some drama and you're wanting to find out what's going on. This is like, there's some lights. I'm not that invested in actually what's going on in the house. I'm invested in the people hanging out trying to figure it out, because that's like, just the characters are so fun in this.
Yeah,
the weird 80s people.
100%. Tom Hanks's friend, I think, is the MVP of this movie. He is the entertainment. He's the funny guy. Everything he says, I'm chuckling.
Definitely.
But I agree. I think that what I found surprising watching this for the first time is that, like, obviously this isn't a new movie, like this concept, Rear Window with Hitchcock, someone spying out the window sees a murder and yada yada yada.
Yeah.
But what's different about this movie compared to the other ones is that most of those other movies, you get what's happening about halfway, and then the back half of the movie is the main character trying to
them catching up
the cops, or trying to, the killer's trying to get them and they're trying to protect themselves. But this movie takes 90% of its runtime before you even get to the whole movie is just them coming up with plans to try to get to the into the house. I'm just like, all right, after like the fourth plan, I'm like, all right, can we just solve this already so we can, I don't know. It just dragged on.
Yeah, so they keep investigating the house and fucking with this family. We'll get some of the highlights of, but I like the running gag where the army guy keeps stepping through the fucking the porch.
Oh, yeah.
Or no,
Totally.
not army guy, it's just everybody. I think the first time it's the
It's
fat
Tom
friend. He's like,
Hanks.
"Oh, God damn
His foot, yeah.
it." Tom's like, "I'm not paying for that." It's like, "I'm not paying for that. We should sue him. This isn't safe." And then the army guy, son of a bitch, like both feet go in. He drops the brownies everywhere. Yeah, so I think they see the one of the older men of the house, like in the window. He tries to say hi to him. He shuts the window. They later see the car pull out of the garage, and
The
then
trash was kind of a big,
yeah,
like
and
the
stop
trash
at
man
the
come
end
out. He's like, what are you doing?
of their driveway, and yeah, put his trash in there, and he smashes it with a stick. I love Tom Hanks. I have never seen someone drive their trash from their home to the curb and then smash it with a stick like that. I've never in my years. Never. And so they think that's weird, but then they don't go check the trash right away. They're like, no, that's suspicious. Us three men checking the trash in a rainstorm? Are you crazy? And then they've already like tried to break into their house. So they wait till the morning, and then they're late, and the trash guys are picking it up. And that guy was in a lot of 80s shit. I don't fucking know, but
I
he's
think he's
super
in
funny.
Gremlins too. He's someone in
Yeah,
Gremlins.
he
He's
is.
definitely
He's
in
the army
Gremlins.
guy from Gremlins. They were using Gremlins. No one believes me. Yeah, and they're picking up trash, and yeah, it's funny. He's doing all the work, and I don't know. Is that the other trash guys? He's like, you can lend me a hand. And then the guys come over and start pouring out the trash. And what are you doing, man? I'm looking for something. And then the other trash guy starts helping him pour it out. I said, what are you doing? He's like, you said to lend a hand. These guys are looking for something. Then I love, they go through all of it. They couldn't find anything. And he's like, now who's going to pick up all this trash? He's like, you are, because
You
you're
are.
the trash man. It's like, I pick up trash off the curb, not off the street.
Yeah,
And
my taxes pay your salary.
it's there for the rest of the movie. I like, there's always a pile of trash, like you see cars going over it.
So good.
And then they want to infiltrate, and then they go over there. Carrie Fisher makes them go meet them, I think, for the first real time, where they go in the house, right? And they bring the brownies, and they get to meet Reuben. Is that what it was?
I think so. Yeah.
Something like that. Reuben the dad. And he's got like a, I don't know, weird Eastern European accent or something. Which they did a lot in 80s movies too. You know, the weird guys, I would just make up an accent, just something crazy and wild. Like Latka from Taxi. Just go have fun with it, you know? We're gonna slap you on the lunchbox and everything. So he's a little bit wacky. Oh yeah, they do the sardines and pretzels thing, which is kind of just a small bit in the movie. They kind of take it a little further in the show,
In
and
the
I like it. It's pretty
show,
funny. Yeah, you know, I found out I like
I like
sardines.
sardines. Well, tonight I learned that I like sardines. So
They're
that's a plus.
slimy and they go down easy.
Oh, man. So good.
Yeah, so they're over there, and then, oh yeah, I like the army dude's attitude during this whole interaction. Reuben, and he slams on the floor with his foot 3 times, and then he hears the knockback. Oh, what was that? Someone in the basement, old Rube? Maybe we should go down there and take a look. And he said, yeah, that's probably just my brother, the doctor. And then the doctor comes out. Oh, hello, we have company. I don't quite remember kind of what the doctor had to say at that point, and then what made him leave.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Did some of them go downstairs and start digging then? Or was
I don't
that
know.
wasn't
I'm trying to think. Is that the show? They
right?
definitely do it in the show. It's hard to like
Yeah.
piece together what happens in the movie and the show, but
I
yeah, I
think
don't
in the
remember if they
movie
do
they
it.
waited till they left that one day to do all that, right? Because then the house
Correct.
starts burning down because they hit a gas line or
Yeah, that's
something.
at the end. That's when they sneak into the backyard and yeah, breakthrough. And but I don't remember if they go in the basement in that scene.
Yeah, they end up leaving, and yeah, then they find out they're going to be gone all day. I don't remember. I think the doctor might have said something about it when they're over there. So they decide to go back that day, and they're fully kitted out, and they got the army guy up top of a sniper position,
The roof, yeah.
keeping watch over the street to make sure they don't come back and to watch their backs. I like how he's like, "You're clear to go in." He's like, Red Rover, send whatever right over." And then he says it again for the next guy. He's like, "Yes." Like, okay, the heck was that? And then we got Corey Feldman. We've established he does this. When he had that babe over that one time, he's like, "No, no, we're gonna watch this. This is live TV. This is even better." And then so he invites other people over this time. He's kind of got a surfer guy with him. "What are you guys doing today? Be quiet, Feldman." No.
We
Are
need
you?
pizza. Something about pizza. They kept bringing up pizza.
Yeah. Because he's like, "I think what was it going to take off, man? Because nothing much was happening. Like, we're going to McDonald's. You want a quarter pounder?" And he's like, "You can't leave now. It's about to get good. I called the pizza guy." He doesn't say he called. He doesn't say he ordered pizza. He just called the pizza guy. It's like, there's a guy you know. I love when the pizza van wrecked and all that pizza fell out later. I audibly said, I said, "That's about $40 worth of pizza in 1984." It's like 50 pies. Just
Oh,
this
shoot.
kid on his own, like his mom left him $20, can order 50 pies to party with his
Jesus.
friends.
Oh, my God.
It was an amazing time. Oh, Lord. Oh,
Welcome back.
but yeah, but they're searching the house. They don't find anything too wacky in the house, right?
No, there's snooping
No, Tom Hanks
around the
finds his
furnace.
toupee during that one thing. That's what kind of kicks him off.
The old guy goes
Oh.
missing.
Yeah, they're kicking around. They're looking at the furnace. It's your quintessential Home Alone furnace. I've never seen these type of furnaces, man,
Neither
that are
have
just a giant iron fucking fire pit with tubing going throughout the house. It's like, I
I.
want, really? I got flames coming out the top radiator of your fucking room. Woo! Blistering your waterbed. My waterbed's boiling.
You might as well put like a gothic organ next to
Yeah.
it.
So then they're digging to try and find bodies in the basement. They hit that gas line, it blows up. Tom Hanks walks out. Everyone thinks he's dead, and they spent all this time with this prosthetics and this makeup for this one shot of him like coming out with his eye actually fucked up. And I was like, "Well, this is a comedy. This is a kind of a lot of damage to do to your just silly comedy main character," I thought. And then the next scene, he's bandaged up. I was like, "Why even waste the time to do that reel of a prosthetic? Why not just have him walk out in a haze and then next scene he's tied up?" I was like, "That's kind of weird just to throw it away." 4 hours in the chair for that 60 seconds of screen time. Yeah, he survives. And then everyone's on his ass. He's in big trouble, man. They're like larceny and breaking and entering, fucking, causing a fire, attempted murder, trespassing. We're going away to prison for years, man. And he's like, "Oh, forget it." And he just does his classic Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks
"Well,
freak
I
out.
try, sometime maybe I thought that he was our murderer, okay? Well, what would you think? I found the toupee in the freaking door, didn't I?" "There was
so
a
good.
femur bone, honey. I don't know. Go take me to the hospital. I'm hurt. I'm sick." And he picks up the gurney and throws it in the back of the ambulance. Like, "Come
And
on!"
lays
Lays on
down.
his stomach.
Oh, yeah, it's on his stomach. That's right.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher's like, "I'll meet you at the hospital, wherever they bring you. Ah, I'll see you there."
So good.
And then the doctor gets in and like shuts the door and he's like, "Oh, hey, doc. I just wanted to apologize, you know. And he's like, "Oh no, I know. I know what you know. You didn't. You. They don't even know." He's like, "I think I'm confused, Doc. I'm what I might know. You're deceiving them. I've deceived them." Okay. And he's like, "Well, if you saw my furnace, you must have seen what's inside." He's like, "I saw the furnace. Yes, I love how he's like, I think what's in a man's furnace is nobody's business but his own. So no, I didn't look in it." And he's like, "You would have seen the skulls." He's like, "Oh, the skulls." And
Oh boy.
then he tries to shoot him with some quintessential 80s
Oh yeah, with the
huge
needle.
syringe with
Yeah.
green serum in it. No one ever knows what that is.
The secret ooze.
Yeah. And then we see, what is his name? Hans, the kid driving the thing, and it's swerving throughout the fucking cul-de-sac. And oh yeah, that's another thing I thought of. Every scene of this does not look like a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Like that scene right there, it's kind of like a curvy road that leaves.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a dead-end road, but I ain't never seen a cul-de-sac that has turns in it, motherfucker. Like, what kind of cul-de-sac is this? So it's like swerving around the street, and it wrecks, and they come. Oh yeah, it wrecks into the fat guy's house, and they come shooting out on the gurney, wrestling around. Oh yeah, the cops come and kind of break it up. He's like, "He's trying to kill me. I told you about this." And then, "You have no evidence. There is no evidence." "I have evidence. He's trying to kill me." And then the trunk pops. Corey Feldman lifts up a blanket back there. The cop's like, "Well, there is no evidence. Here's some." Looks at his buddies. "Yeah, I told you guys." "Well, I tell you, enjoy the freak show." "All right."
Just like
Pizza's on its
bones
way,
and shit.
dudes. Yeah, it's like, it's funny to hear Donatello's voice talk so much about pizza in this. Pies are on the way. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's like a bunch of skulls and shit.
A shit ton of them too. The whole truck is just full of fucking
Yeah,
bones.
and so they
Damn.
arrest him, and then I think they say something about that to the fat guy, "Your house is on fire, and your wife's home." "My wife's home." Oh. And then Tom Hanks is just walking down the street with Carrie Fisher, and they're like, "Oh, what are you gonna do? It's gonna Geraldo Rivera's coming later. They're gonna dig up the basement. It's gonna be live on satellite." And he's like, "I'm going on vacation." He's like, "Vacation again?" And then I think Corey Feldman talks to him. He's like, "I'm gonna be gone for a while. Take care of the neighborhood for me, will you?" "I will. I will." And then he looks at the camera. What does he say, damn it? He says, "Wow, what a wild ride," or something like that. Breaking the fourth wall, "Oh, that was crazy," and walks away. Slowly walks away after breaking the fourth wall. Cut to credits imposed over character actor acting a little bit as such character, or maybe it was a photo, I don't remember. But yeah, that's a great ending. I was like, yeah, break the fourth wall, turn around, walk away, end the film. Good.
Perfect.
Perfect.
And I love how, like, after all the charges he's charged with, they just let him go home and walk down the street. Like, you're still guilty of the things
Yeah.
that you did. You can't just walk
I
away.
know. I like what he said in the ambulance to the doctor. He's like, "You know, when I get out of prison, I'm going to help you rebuild the house, okay? I know how to do it. I have the tools." Like, my father-in-law bought me a tool
Just new tools. Yeah,
set.
the toolbox.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, so I don't know. I didn't think it was that great, but I had fun pretty much the whole time. I wasn't chasing the drama or the mystery like I am in the show. I'm just enjoying the time I get with these wacky characters hanging out. I thought Carrie Fisher was underused to get that a name that big. I thought that fat guy, or he's not even that fat. Like, he's a
He's not,
fat guy in the 80s movie. He's slightly overweight. And but I thought he stole the show, like you said.
He's like Bert Kreischer size, more or less.
Yeah, maybe a little smaller. Tom Hanks is pretty good. He's just playing the straight man, kind of how he does, and then he gets a little wacky, but it's not too zany. Corey Feldman, I felt like was underutilized too. Why not have him hanging out with the group,
tagging along?
Why not? Why sit him on the porch next door when you could have more comedic stuff with him? But yeah, just seeing the zany 80s characters interact together brought me through it, and it was pretty fun. I think it's like a 7.2. I think what happens to these movies almost that become cult classics, I feel in some cases, it's like this movie comes out, The Burbs, people are thinking it's going to be a haunted house mystery, and really it's not much of that.
Yeah.
And like you said, it doesn't pay off to the last 10% of the movie, and then it's really not much at all. And people are like, well, that wasn't what I was told it was going to be, so I can't enjoy it because it wasn't a haunted house thing.
Yeah.
But then through the years, people enjoy just like the performances of these zany characters. And I think this fits that bill. And yeah, 7.2.
Yeah, 6.5 for me. It's solid. Not as good as I would have hoped, but because again, I just think the mystery gets dragged out too long. It's just the same scene over and over again, them just trying to like get into the house, to the point I found it to be a little exhausting. But what got me through a lot of it is, like you said, the characters, specifically Tom Hanks's friend. He steals every scene that he's in. He's a fast talking, wise talking goofball.
Yeah.
To the
and
point
it's very much like Cindy's father. I guess maybe he just does that in every movie he's in. Because he's remember, what do we say? What do we cut it with? No, not baking soda. Baking powder, right? We don't want muffins coming out of their nose. You used to love that joke as a kid. Remember that?
You love that joke since you were 4 years old. he steals every scene that he's in. It's solid. It's fine. 6.5.
6.5. 7.2, check it out on Peacock. Peacock. Check it out on Peacock, the bird one. And they got the show going, which is pretty good. Check that out too.
I'm really as always, the show. I think the show is
me too. I recommend the show. It's good enough that I was like, well, I gotta see the movie.
Because
the show's good. And even if the movie isn't good, I gotta see it because I like the show. Mm-hmm. So yeah, check them out. As always, come hang out with us here on YouTube. Please like and subscribe. We appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you. Also, we're on Apple Music and Spotify. If that's how you do your podcast, we don't care where you do them or how you do them. As long as you come do them with us once in a while, we'd appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you. Appreciate you. Till the next Vs. Peace.
Peace.